Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. Good to have you all still. I want to remind you on the way to this conversation, the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ Baltimore's credit union is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you. For more information, www.mecu.com. Or you can jump onto steinershow.org and click on their banner. All the information is right there. We are joined right now by Ali Danois, senior editor for Balance Magazine, and Dave Zirin, host of Edge of Sports and sports columnist for The Nation. Dave and Ali, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Join us here at 410-319-8888. Color Lines had a piece by Jamila King, who couldn't join us today. But Jamila wrote that her first line, which I thought was an important line, Day, was that sexuality and sports make for a complicated mix. Throw in race and the persistent obsession with what it means to be a man in America, and the conversation becomes impossibly loaded as we approach this conversation about NBA's Jason Collins coming out. Dave?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, it's a discussion that's very difficult, but it's also a discussion we desperately need to have. And the terrific thing about Jason Collins having the bravery to step out there and become the first active male gay athlete to come out of the closet is something that advances that discussion. And the fact that in Jason Collins' own words, he pays tribute to the women athletes that have come out before him. He pays tribute to the LGBT movement that gave him the strength to do it, that he even pays tribute to the Supreme Court justices debating his own humanity and whether or not he should be seen as a fully fledged human being that inspired him to come out as well, to say, you know what, it's like, if I'm not willing to stand up for myself, how can I expect to have equal rights and full citizenship in this country? I mean, all of these things allow for a richer discussion and an important discussion, and I think we can't have that discussion without people like Jason Collins being willing to stand up and be heard.
Ali, what was your initial take when you heard this?
My initial take was, I thought to myself, what kind of a society do we live in, and where are we as a culture and a people where, you know, there's such jubilation and celebration for people being honest and open and happy and unashamed at who they really are, being unashamed to admit who they really are. And, you know, sports is one of these last bastions of our society where, you know, homophobia tends to be really, really prevalent. And, you know, everybody can look in their family. You have a person who's gay. If your best friend was to stare at you in the eye and say, hey, Mark, hey, Dave, you mean so much to me as a person, and I just want to let you know that I'm gay, you would accept that person with open arms because you love them. And, you know, for this guy to have this bravery, like Dave alluded to get this very, very powerful conversation going, I think is extremely important. And for people who are saying, well, he's a scrub, it's not important until a star player comes out,
right.
I think they've got the conversation totally convoluted, and they don't really understand the magnificent power of what this brave individual just did, because he's making it possible for somebody down the road to have an easier decision at saying, you know what, I'm tired of living this lie and convincing myself and other people of something that I'm not, that I am not. And it's all about personal choice and happiness, and it almost gives us this dirty feeling that as a society we really got a far way to go to hear some of the ignorant comments coming out about, you know, what he did.
As you heard, Dave, as you wrote about, we heard those comments on ESPN and a few other places, which were ridiculed, but. Were you shocked by what happened when that came over the news like that? Did they allow that to happen?
You mean, was I shocked when Chris Broussard said that he thought Jason Collins was going to burn in hell and that people shouldn't criticize him for that because he's a Christian and he's just saying his beliefs as a Christian? Yeah, this was terrible for so many reasons. It's like, where do you even begin? I mean, first and foremost, it's worth pointing out to Chris Broussard and to everybody who's defending Chris Broussard by saying, hey, it's his religion, he's a Christian. It's worth pointing out that Jason Collins is a Christian. And so what Chris Broussard is not expressing is Christianity. I mean, it's like so many people have allowed him to claim this mantle, that I'm a Christian, therefore I'm saying this. What he's doing is claiming a very right-wing edge of the evangelical movement, which is what Chris Broussard happens to believe in, and that's his faith. But for us to say that it's just faith and not politics is completely ignorant. I mean, we might as well forget that people like Oral Roberts, Jerry Falwell, and the entire history of political evangelical Christianity has existed in this country up to this day, with people like Rick Perry and Michelle Bachmann, who believe in, you know, murdering people on death row in the name of God and drone attacks in the name of the Lord. I mean, give me a break. So don't let him hide behind his religion. Judge him on the basis of what he's actually saying. And what he was actually saying was bigoted nonsense. And another reason why this upsets me so much is, and believe me, I'm not defending the people I'm about to say, but Hank Williams Jr., fired from ESPN for comparing Obama to Hitler.
Right.
Let's talk about Tony Kornheiser, suspended from ESPN for making fun of Hannah Storm's boots. Rob Parker, fired from ESPN for calling Robert Griffin III a cornball brother and criticizing the fact that his longtime companion is a white woman. Once again, I'm not defending any of those comments whatsoever, except I do agree with Tony Kornheiser that those boots were kind of silly. But what I am wondering is, where is the line at ESPN? And why is this bigotry okay, but other bigotry is not? And I've thought about this a lot over the last 24 hours, and I'll tell you the conclusion I've come to on this, is I really think what this was about is, look, Chris Broussard's views on homosexuality, he's made them public in the past. My theory on this is I think ESPN got caught completely flat-footed with this story. Sports Illustrated scooped them. ESPN was still talking about Tim Tebow leaving the when the rest of the sports world was going nuts over this story. And so they needed a way to insert themselves into the story. And how did they do that? They get the house homophobe, the person in the ESPN studio who they know would be relied upon to say these things, and they put him on camera. And then lo and behold, everybody's not talking about this important day and what it means with a historic sense. Instead, they're talking about Chris Broussard.
Exactly, and I think that it's kind of I'd like to open the phones here 410-319-8888, but really wrestle with all of us just about, so what is the significance of this? We've seen in color lines they talked about other people who have come out of closet, LGBT players. There's a list of them, you know, people like Brittany Griner, who came out. She was so easy with her coming out that it was she was just very clear who she was. Orlando Cruz, the boxer, Josh Dixon, they mentioned the gymnast, retired people like Simone Augustus and a number of others, Wade Davis, Kwame Harris. Of course, some of these were already retired, these folks, but, I mean, there's something afoot here that you've been talking about, Dave and Ali. I mean, I think that this is part of an eruption of a movement that really could cause a change, given that you also see some people like Kobe Bryant and others coming out in complete support of at this moment. And I think that this could be kind of the winning momentum. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw more folks coming out of the closet, saying who they are, what they believe, and not standing in the shadows any longer. Maybe I'm overly optimistic.
Well, no, I think you're in the right ballpark there, Mark. I mean, for people who are doubting the significance of Collins' announcement, whether it's because he's a role player or not a household name, they're not really understanding the full evolution of this story. And we've seen, you know, you mentioned this movement and this groundswell over the years, and like you mentioned, you know, females in professional sport, individual athletes. This is sort of the final frontier that the NBA, NFL, hockey locker room, where there is such a creed of macho masculinity. You know, it's one of those places where it is acceptable to, you know, degrade women in a sexual conversation and in ways that you wouldn't accept in any other facet of society. So this was the test, and everyone was saying, well, you know, there are going to be four guys in the NFL that are going to come out together. They're going to do it as a group. And when is the first? I mean, we've been hearing this question for a number of years. When is the first person going to make this announcement? You know, when we saw John Amici make his announcement after he retired, you know, that set some people back a little bit. And I think when you look at the negative reaction that Tim Hardaway received when he, you know, was asked a question about that news, and he went on the radio and exposed himself for the mental midget that he was, and he said that he hated gay people, the backlash was unbelievable behind that. And so we've seen this groundswell and this movement moving in this direction. And now I think it's extremely important. You know, we don't want to compare people to Jackie Robinson, but this is a situation where he actually is the first gay active athlete to make this decision and to force people to really, really confront their beliefs and their values and what they believe about people and how they should live their lives. So I think it's a monumental day.
Dave, and then we'll open the phones here.
Oh, yeah, please open the phones. But I do have to say that I agree. I think, you know, Mark Twain once said that history doesn't repeat itself, but it does rhyme. And you see that with the comparison to Jackie Robinson. Like, of course, it's not an exact parallel. The most glaring difference being, of course, that Jackie Robinson breaks the color line in advance of the civil rights movement, while you could see Jason Collins doing this because so many masses of people have fought, and him taking inspiration from those masses, from the mass, if you will. But as far as this idea of, okay, they are going to force their teammates, their brotherhood in the league, fans, to confront their own prejudices, well, that's pretty huge. And that's what makes it a Jackie Robinson moment.
And you know what also is interesting, Mark? I know you want to go to the phone lines, but there are guys who people have put on this athletic pedestal and worshipped that have been gay, and we just don't know who they are because the raw numbers and the percentages tell us, based on, you know, the amount of guys on a roster or however many play in the league, that there have been gay players in the NBA before and the NFL and in boxing and in hockey. And, you know, the question is the locker room going to be ready for this? I know, you know, when I played sports in high school, there were guys who we thought and later came to found out and confirmed later that they were gay. But we didn't hold that against them because they worked just as hard as we did in practice. They were willing to be great teammates. They were fun. They were great people. And it was a situation where it didn't matter. And maybe that was a byproduct of some of us coming from households where we were taught better, taught to respect people as individuals. But this is nothing new for people that think, you know, oh, my God, the gay people are taking over. Now they're playing pro sports. Hey, you know, reality check. They've been around for a long time, and you need to get a hold of yourself and move on.
410-319-8888. Join us here. We're talking to Ali Danois, senior editor of Bounce Magazine, Dave Zirin, host of the Edge of Sports, sports columnist for The Nation, whose latest book is a really phenomenal book that we've yet to talk with him on the air about. We got to change that. Game Over, How Politics Has Turned the Sports World Upside Down. 410-319-8888. Dr. Lester Spence, you're on the air.
Hey, Mark, can you hear me?
Yes, you can. Welcome.
Hey, real quick, I'm glad you got Dave on this show with you because I wanted to chime in on something he had mentioned on Twitter or something. I think people are misunderstanding. They're not getting the whole clip of what Chris Broussard said, and I think comparing Chris Broussard to Rob Parker and a number of others is really a poor comparison, even though I support Jason Collins. I support what he represents. What Chris Broussard said, if you see the entire clip, and everybody's putting up just a bit and just a small part of the interview. What he says basically is, I disagree. I believe homosexuality is a sin, and I don't have a problem playing with him. So if I wouldn't have a problem playing with him or being in the locker room, and I have the beliefs I have, I don't know why anyone else would. That's what he says in the full interview. So to now I disagree with his stance on Christianity, and I don't think that stance is right. But it's important to at least give the argument credit, because that's what political change looks like, right? It's the political equivalent of the rural voter, the rural white voter in Pennsylvania, who, when asked who he's going to vote for, says he's going to vote for the N-word. That's a real example. That's not something I'm making up. That's what political change looks like. So if we're going to disagree with Chris Broussard, that's fine. But particularly given Dave's politics that I agree with, you at least need to make the right claim.
Dave?
Well, two things. One, I think the I did see the whole clip. I watched the episode. The description of what Chris Broussard said was just way too benign. That Dr. Spence just put forward. I mean, he did not say, my beliefs, say I disagree with him and I have no problem with him. I mean, he spoke quite specifically that that Jason Collins would find himself burning in hell for what he did and was living a life of sin. And because he's living a life of sin, would find himself in hell. And then he turned it into a bizarre discussion about gay sex. I mean, I found it all to be much more a statement about Chris Broussard than anything else. But more than anything, and this is my point, it was a statement about ESPN. I mean, if Chris Broussard wants to go on a street corner and say what he thinks, that's great. If he wants to write his book, Why Gay People Are Going to Burn in Hell, that's great too. I thought it was a shocking decision, given the fact that his views are public and known, that ESPN said, you know what, on this day of all days, this is Chris Broussard Day. This is the day when Chris Broussard is going to get a platform to tell everybody what he thinks about gay people. I thought that was an incredibly unfortunate editorial choice by ESPN. And like I said, this is more opinion than fact, but in my opinion, it was done because they found themselves on the outside looking in on this story, and it was a way to crudely inject themselves into what was really the sports story of the last several years.
So, Dave, so real quick, I agree with you that there's an economy to this. That is, that there's a click economy, and that when you get somebody like Chris saying what he says, then you're going to get more click-throughs and get more views and get more advertising money. That I agree with. I saw a clip that said part of what you said, and of course we're on the radio, so I boiled it down. But what I heard him say is, like, I would play with him. And that was the key thing for me.
What he also said was that he's walking in open rebellion to God. And this is the same guy who fawns over LeBron James, who happened to have premarital sex, who happened to have children before he got married. And we didn't hear that nonsense coming from Chris Broussard. You know, generations ago, we heard people in the name of God walk out of a church service and go out and have a picnic and watch people get lynched. So many things in the name of religion have led to atrocities that have been just swept under the cover and accepted in the name of that I can't give Chris Broussard any credence for him saying, well, I'd play with him because if he was a good teammate, but he's an abomination to God and Jesus Christ. Chris Broussard is an abomination to anyone who has any semblance of a brain.
That's fair. Just make the argument. Just say everything that he says. Right? Just say everything that he says. I can feel that. Just say everything that he says.
Always good. Always good to have you with us, Lester.
All right. Peace, man.
Thank you, bro.
And can I just say, too, the other point that I don't want to get lost.
Yeah.
Sorry. I hope Lester's still listening. Is I think it's given the fact that ESPN is more than just another broadcaster, it's actually the magnetic center of the sports world. I think we have the right to ask, where is the line? And why is someone like Rob Parker shown the door, yet Chris Broussard, this is somehow not only accepted, but it's encouraged? I mean, it's worth getting a real answer to that question. I actually hope the answer is an economic answer, that they just want that click economy. I hope it's not that people at ESPN just think, well, a lot of our audience is homophobic, so we don't have to care about how we treat gay people the way we would have to mind, say, how we treat black people or Jewish people.
So what does it say that Nike hosted the LGBT Sports Summit, that they kind of embracing Jason Collins? They're going to clearly sign people they may even sign him to a contract. When people, somebody speculated today, and they were going to sign Griner to a contract as well. What about the business end of this?
Well, if you're asking, it says that Nike's very savvy, and that there's this thing known as the pink economy that's out there. And Nike wants to get their piece to it. I've heard advertising sermons about this, is that, you know, the advertising industry, what it tries to do is slice and dice and segment the population every which way but loose. And they have determined through their market research, and no, I can't back this up, but this, because this comes from their mouths, that LGBT consumers are some of the most loyal consumers in the United States. And if you can attach them to a brand, then you're good. Now, I would make the case that one of the reasons why they're so loyal is that so many companies historically have been homophobic that the community has wanted to support companies that actually weren't. And frankly, the more companies that aren't homophobic going forward, the less you'll see that kind of brand loyalty. But, you know, Nike, you know, it's like that Beaverton, Oregon campus looks like it does for a reason. The same way the casinos in Vegas look so nice. It's because the house always wins.
Ain't that the truth? And then one of the interesting things, the sidebar to this, is that a number of places have reported, including NPR, that I was just looking at a moment ago, my producer sent, was that the National Hockey League Players Union and Players Union launched this initiative to battle homophobia. I mean, there clearly is something afoot here. I think that's why I said, as I said earlier, one of my first things I said was we went on the air together, was that I think you're going to see something really unfolding here in a larger way, that that this has been this gigantic push because of the changes in gay marriage and everywhere else, that there's going to be more people coming out saying, this is who I am. I am strong. I play this game. And I think you're going to see this unfold. I think it's going to come tumbling out, which should be good. I think it's going to be really good for our society and good for many young people who are terrified to say who they are.
Exactly. And we've seen this shift over the years. I mean, my parents' generation, as an actor or a singer, or an athlete, or a banker, or a lawyer, you couldn't come out and openly admit that this was your choice, and this is who you are as a person, and expect to be treated fairly and compensated fairly and walk around happy and not live in fear. Today, this new generation that's coming up, you got to remember that a lot of these guys in the NBA locker rooms, these guys are 20, 21, 22, 25 years old. Some of them have gay mothers. Some of them have gay fathers. They're coming up in a society now where it is more accepted than it's ever been. It's part of the culture. It's part of the lifestyle. It's part of the fashion. So you have this younger generation and this acceptance level that is at its highest. And, you know, what's really going to test those diehards and those holdouts like Chris Broussard is when a player like LeBron James, who he slobbers over, when a guy of that stature comes out and says, look, you know, people adore me. Nike pays me $200 million to endorse these contracts. I'm on the cover of Wheaties, and I'm this huge economic engine in and of myself. And you know what? I'm happy, I'm carefree, and I'm gay, and I was born this way. That's coming next.
Well, I want to thank both of you. This has been a great conversation, as usual, with both of you. Ali Danwa, you just heard, senior editor of Bounce Magazine. Dave Zirin, host of Edge of Sports, incredible website as well called Edge of Sports, sports columnist for The Nation, sports editor for The Nation. His latest book, Game Over, How Politics Has Turned the Sports World Upside Down. I thank both of you so much for being with us this half hour.
Always enjoyable.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Thank you all for being part of the show today as well. On our way out the door, I want to remind you, the Mark Steiner Show is made possible in part by the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. Mortgage late? Don't wait. If you're struggling with your mortgage, the state of Maryland is offering housing counseling and legal assistance. Maryland's HOPE program can even help you understand the state's mediation law and the Attorney General's national foreclosure settlement. Don't wait. Get help today. More information at mdhope.org or at 877-462-7555. 5-5. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Bobby Marvin Holmes, Mark Gunnery, and Stephanie Mavronis. Our engineer tonight is Andrew Holt. Our intern is Lila Warshaw. Our theme music was composed by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. Please go to steinershow.org to podcast the show and listen to our other shows and hear the other work we're doing and get information about our guests and the work that they do. And right now, I want to encourage you all to stay tuned. Deborah Owens is coming this way with Wealthy Lifestyle Radio. And for public radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.